back friends, Sarah rightly brought up the demonic stalking this conversation. So at this talk, so we're talking about all the four characteristics of the glorified body. And at times we see them exhibited within people.
You want to just articulate them one more time?
Sure. Impassibility, subtlety, agility, and clarity. So sometimes, you know, some individuals have that, the capacity to bilocate, the capacity to appear, and this sort of thing. So now we have to have a warning. And we have to be aware that Satan can masquerade as light or illumination. There's some fascination with some, I forget what they call it, where they're trying to project themselves into different realms to do that. There's a word for it, and maybe it's good that we don't know it just but we have to have a guarding against that. Humans, so we have both we have darkness of both sin and ignorance, and that affects our intellect. And when we get into these realms and we see some glimpses of these sort of things, a spiritual director and the perennial wisdom of the magisterium are critical, because if any sort of attraction is away from the perennial wisdom of the magisterium, they can't be of God. They just really can't. And a spiritual director, he'll be able to, who knows us, can take into account, is this a psychological phenomenon we're experiencing? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? You know, take that in. John of the Cross. So this is the book we're going to be heading into. The Collected Work. In his spiritual counsel, number 10, said, the one who aspires to perfection, so perfection is union with God, should use three precautions to be delivered from the devils. One, second enemy, the world is the first. Okay. And it should be noted that among the many wiles of the devil for deceiving spiritual persona, the most common is deceiving them under the appearance of good, rather than of evil.
And isn't that the truth? You know, just how easily susceptible we are to manipulations like that. That I think is what we just watched happen in our world, was the corruption of the good of each individual human person having compassion for another person. To use that level of interior generosity to, you know, lock down the world, as it were.
That's right. They didn't come around and say, we wanted your grandma and your grandpa to die a lonely and agonizing death because of medical mistreatment, which is true. That is what happened in lots of it. No, it was, we need to protect grandma and grandpa. And, having them look at you on a screen on your iPad.
It's as good as your being there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I know, it really is incredible. I mean, how, and I don't think that there is a point in history where you would not be able to see that, like any corrosive element. You know, nobody, I know that I've quoted this before, and I keep looking for the progenitor, as it were, of the quote, but that, you know, man does not do evil because he loves evil. Man does evil because he becomes bored with goodness. And in this instance, it's not so much that he's bored with goodness as much as he is easily manipulated with it, right? You know, I mean, he ends up, every instinct in regards to that, you know, that line that you just said about, you know, you don't want to harm grandma. Well, no, I mean, no one does. And so consequently, that good, which is to not harm someone that you love, becomes the driver to destroy a relationship, which becomes really, I mean, I don't know how you can't see like what St. John of the Cross is saying here, this deception of goodness, you know, that he deceives under the guise of goodness, how you cannot see some real radical demonic element there.
And that goes straight to the second point under the dangers is recognizing the fruit, back to our garden analogy. What does this fruit produce? Does it produce peace, tranquility, love, joy, and charity towards neighbor?
Right. And we really have to be careful, you know.
That would have been your clue with grandma, you know, or grandpa being locked away like that.
Yeah. You know, and I think too, like we immediately subscribe to the word fruit, a good, right? We think something that bears fruit is good, but some fruit is poisonous. You know, I mean, and you really like just to take it back to the garden analogy, you know, not all fruit is edible and not fruit is good for the human person. And it really does require, I mean, I think for instance of mushrooms, you know, it really takes a person with intent. Like, I wouldn't trust myself with a mushroom. You know what I mean? If it doesn't come packaged at the grocery store, and even there, I'm taking an enormous leap of faith that the person who is providing those mushrooms to me knows what they're talking about, right? But that is one of those things where you can be looking at two mushrooms in the ground, and if you don't know how to discern the difference, one will lead you to life, you know, to health and to happiness, and the other will lead you to death. And in that this analogy with our garden, you know, just because something springs up from the ground, I think that we're very naive in that regards, right? That we think that anything that has the appearance of good, ergo must be good. We become very naive, very jejun. And, you know, all of nature fell when Adam and Eve sinned. It's not as though the earth stayed like pure and wonderful. No, the earth became also our enemy, right? I mean, how did you say that before, that St. John of the Cross considered the devil our second enemy after
the world?
The world. I mean, how fascinating is that?
That's right.
Right? I mean, I've never really put it together from that perspective, but it's so, the ways of the world are, in some instances, really, we have to always have our guard up.
That's right.
Sorry.
There, you hit on something. I have it right here. Good fruit cannot come from a tree fed with polluted water. So, you know, you could have an apple tree. Let's say we all know it's an apple tree. But if it's beside water that is polluted, that fruit is not going to be towards health. So we have to some, you know, if you're mired in mortal sin and you do good, and I know this is it's a huge touchy subject, going back to a good confessor, you can have some good from that in the natural sense. But in terms of the spirit, working towards your spiritual good, it's just, at least the doctors of the church will say, it's not possible. Because you don't have the life of the Holy Spirit flowing within you.
I mean, if the source is poisoned.
The source is poisoned. So we have to ask ourselves, are our actions or beliefs in conformity with the deposit of faith? So that the good that we do, not just redounds to the here and now, which is fine. You know, love of neighbor, absolutely. But also love of God, right? Number one, love of neighbors. Number two. Okay. All right. Let's pick up with everything is grace.
Oops, I'm sorry. Did you finish number three, though?
Number
deception
three.
Under the guise of good, recognizing the fruit. And then what would have been the third point that he was making?
Oh,
did I miss one?
Three precautions. Oh. And out of those three, I pulled out number one.
Ah, okay. Got it. All right. Got it. So I missed
and
that.
And for those who are interested, it is paragraph number 10 from his counsel. All right. Thank you for asking. Always good to check on things. All right. Till the next time, my friends. Fide Sedratio.